Stubbs, I realize this may come across as a little bit racist, but have you ever heard of the Zgul Makers? No? Alright. Well, I thought it might be racist because I got some intel on a group of dwarves living under the mountains somewhere in Russia, where they've apparently lived for thousands of years. And that same source emphatically said that no matter what we think, all dwarves know each other. It's in their blood or something. I knew it was full of dreck, but I didn't trust you and I wanted to ask. Wait, what's that look? No, you definitely made her face right then. Yes, you did. What do you know? Yes, you do know what I'm talking about. This conversation isn't over. Coming to you straight from the most reliably biased source on the Matrix, broadcasting as a proud member of the Shadowcasters Network, I am Opti, and welcome to the Neo-Anarchist Podcast. This is the second episode of 2072, this time giving you the tech, the magic, the underworld, and the cultural history of that even-numbered year. But first, as always, I'd like to give a piece of myself back to the fans and slide into our Dear Opti segment. The first one comes from K-Town Patriot. Dear Opti, just how powerful are free spirits? And is there any real difference between their subtypes, like Warden or Vanguard? And those are good questions. As to the first, how powerful a free spirit is depends on a number of factors. But I guess the easiest answer is that a free spirit can be as weak as, or more powerful than, any other spirit a mage can summon. The subtypes of spirits that you mentioned, such as Vanguards or Wardens, are different, but mostly the distinction is one of motivation rather than substance. Vanguards, for instance, can refer either to spirits from other realms that act as scouts or spies for more hostile spirits to enter our world, or they could refer to spirits whose job it is to safeguard other spirits. While Warden spirits are much more like caretakers who value the world in a particular way and want to see it remain or revert into that way. Vanguards tend to be hostile to metahumans, while Wardens tend to be open to interacting with us, if it suits their purpose. I hope that helps! Next question comes from Lucas Plenge. If reincarnation was a thing, what name-giver race and discipline would you have been in the fourth world? Well, looks like someone's been reading some ancient history. Well, let it be known right now that I don't believe in reincarnation. But I have been having dreams lately that I lived thousands of years ago in Russia. I was an orc named Scratch who traveled around the land singing songs, trying to bring glory to my ancestors. So I guess if I had to be something, some kind of orc troubadour sounds right. And finally, here's our last question. Dear Opti, what is your favorite club or hangout in Seattle? I really like Underworld 93, but miss the good old 50s. Although SimSense takes music to a whole other level. Thanks, Jax. Well, Jax, this is an easy one. I like three places. Of course, I still head out to Underworld or Dante's when I'm in town, but to tell you the truth, I've spent more time at the Big Rhino downtown, the Bawdy Lass in Snohomish, and of all places, the Jackal's Lantern in Redmond. I know, no accounting for taste, but you can't find a safer place from the cops than hanging out with the wieners on their home turf. Having said that, the Bawdy Lass is probably the safest place for anyone looking just to have a good time. Hey, thanks everyone! Keep those questions coming in. You can get them to me on Face Matrix, Tweetbox, or shoot me a message at opti@neoanarchist.com, and I will make your lives enhanced by answering them. Now, think back, not too long ago, to where you were in 2072. On the streets? In some company town? Doing a military tour? Well, I was in Chicago, trying to keep a low profile and spread the anarchy. I mean, the love. I mean, both. But let's talk about what everyone else was doing in 2072. In the tech news, May 9th saw Ares unveiling a new line of space travel applications based on nanotechnology. This brand set the stage for a new era in space exploration, habitation, and colonization. That really hasn't worked out like they thought it would. Also in 2072, all Major League sports organizations agreed to ban technomancers from pro sports, at least until more information about them could be gathered. The magical events of 2072 happened this way. And a series of events lasting from 2072 to 2073 that many of us in the shadows refer to as the Artifact Rush began to heat up. Many believe that the rush was directly connected to the Great Dragon Civil War, which we'll talk about in a few episodes, but the basics are as follows. Early in 2072, the DIMR, or the Dunkelzahn Institute of Magical Research, checked out an artifact from the Draco Foundation vaults called the Sextant of Worlds. This artifact was one of the unclaimed bits from Dunkelzahn's will. Anyway, somehow the sextant was nabbed by a smoking mirror blood cult on its way to Boston. Thankfully, a hearty group of Shadowrunners recovered the thing, but caused all sorts of shenanigans in this year and the next. Don't go looking for it, but in 2072, an archaeological dig in Pueblo country discovered a grimoire similar to the Book of Gath, calling this one the Book of Tak. Both Gaff and Tak are shadow spirits looking to make pacts with idiot mortals in exchange for power. Trust me, Crows, leave this Drek be. Your soul is not a bargaining chip, neither is your life. Leave the spirit packs alone. Spirits are to be respected, but they don't exist to enslave you. I've heard rumors of a third book, akin to Gaff and Tak, and anyone who has info, you know where to find me. One spot of hope in 2072 that incidentally turned sour is that from 2067 to 2072, government and corporate reports noted a significant drop in the population of bug spirits worldwide. Predictably, instead of staying the course and continuing to keep in practice the things that led to the drop, politicians began to get lazy, talking about a bug-free world. In reality, corps like Ares were not eradicating bugs, but imprisoning them and weaponizing them. It hasn't all fallen to pieces yet, but mark my words, Ares is in for a bad time when this all goes wrong for them, and the corps and nations that fail to take the bugs seriously are going to reap the whirlwind soon. I can practically feel them crawling all over me here in Chicago. For some reason, in 2072, Kelladir's Knights of Rage began attacking Druidic Circles and other awakened sites across the British Isles. Neonat has something to do with it, and I think I know what, but I'll keep that for a special episode getting released soon. Now, here is something that I find disturbing for two reasons. A company called Genecraft, a subsidiary of Renraku, claimed to have isolated the genetic component that decides whether or not an individual is awakened. They claim it was a particular gene, in fact. Now, this bugs me on one hand because Renraku would have a vested interest in using this against the awakened population, which, of course, isn't good. But second, if they discovered it way back in 2072, why haven't we heard anything about it since? I don't think we've heard the last of this, Crows. Prior to 2074, the illegal enchantment trade was huge. It's still big biz, but nowhere near what it was. Talismans, foci, reagents, you name it. But Ares nearly got busted over it when their operative, Anne Ravenheart, was busted for illegal foci trading. Of course, everyone at Ares threw Anne under the bus, and she took the fall for it all. Some of you might remember the ongoing saga of the great dragon nail clippings that were promised to the leader of the Haugen of the Caribbean League in Dunkelzahn's will. Well, a guy named Marcus Cross finally won them when he came out on top. He won them, but never got them, because the plane they were on crashed at sea and the strong boxes containing the clippings were never recovered. Man, think of all the bloodshed just to get those, and then they were lost. And Crows, this is one of the things that makes me confident that dragons don't know as much as they think they do. I think in many ways, Dunkelzahn was trying to do good, but his last will and testament was a clusterfrag of manipulation on a global scale. This is a perfect example. Throwing out the Orzhet Codex was another. It might have sounded good, but it has put yet another stumbling block in front of orcs transitioning into global society. And those are just two examples of an entire document full of dragon knows best bulldreck. Smarter does not mean wiser, chums. Remember that. In Underworld news, on December 3rd, Shadowrunner and founder of Jackpoint, Fast Jack, got a team together, including another Jackpointer named Riser. They infiltrated the network of a Neonet facility near Albuquerque PCC. Whatever they were looking for, what they found was an infection. When they got back, both Fast Jack and Riser started showing signs of dissociative identity disorder. Another Jackpoint member, Plan 9, also showed these signs. Going back over these old files, this was the first introduction to what would become known as CFD, or Cognitive Fragmentation Disorder. Whatever was in Fast Jack's head identified itself as the Self-Educating Autonomous Reasoning Combat Hacking, or SEARCH program. I have an entire episode coming up that deals with CFD, so I won't go into it here. Suffice to say, it's a much bigger deal than I'm making it seem, but in 2072, we just didn't know that yet. And of course, our favorite part, the culture of 2072. Barry Manna set off on his second world tour in 2072. Christy Day released her Sunny Day album. Crime Time put out his Dejected Nation. Maria Mercurial made a bit of a comeback with Shatter Me album. Synaptic released Biome, and the Tolson Twins swung and hit a home run with their Badlands Sunrise album. In Hollywood, Horizon released their Intimacy Initiative, which allowed consumers to buy a persona of their favorite sim star, with the level of authenticity corresponding with what they paid for it. 5,000 Nuyen got a silent AR persona that you can have a silent conversation with. 50,000 Nuyen got you a walking, talking AR version of your star. And if you had unlimited funds, you could get a persona that has a physical component so that you can act out whatever you want on your actor. Before we end, I wanted to reach back to Season 2 when we used to do the Runner of the Year segments. The Runner of the Year of 2072 goes to Whiplash. Whiplash is a human adept known to many as the luckiest gangster alive. His real name is Ethan McAllister, but once upon a time he got the attention of a Horizon movie exec and starred in that one-hit wonder trid called Whiplash, about a runner with a monofilament whip, and the name stuck. Ethan grew up as a small-time ganger in the Japanese neighborhoods of San Francisco and tried to make a go of acting due to his ability to pull off seemingly impossible stunts and always being at the right place at the right time. Now, I'm pretty sure all of you saw that movie Whiplash. That's why he stopped doing movies. Horizon overhyped that thing to death, and while they made more than their fair share off the flick, Ethan was typecast, and when the saturation of Whiplash became too great, Horizon cut him loose and revoked his sin. Since then, Whiplash took to the streets and has been leveraging his recognized name and skills to make another kind of name for himself. A few runner groups I know don't mind risking a little exposure to keep him around, given the good luck he seems to bring to the runs. Last I heard, he won the Stuffer Shack 10,000th Customer of the Month award 4 times, but he can't ever cash in on it because he lacks a legal sin. So if you run into Whiplash, tell my old chummer I said hoy. Speaking of chummers, I want to apologize for helping you to waste an entirely good slot of time listening to the Neo-Anarchist Podcast. In closing, I want to give a hearty hello to our newest Patreon supporters, which receive monthly offerings of Neo-Anarchist Street gear. Freshly included in this illustrious list of capable crowfunders is Matt Johnson, Jace Selman, Alyssa Shrum, O.C. Pritchett, Sicilian, Sazboom, Anthony Frisco, Taco Hugs, Jacob King, Missy Wolford, Jen Pauly, Jork, Jim Kletzing, Nicole Michalak, Jason McAleese, Alexander Barona, and Barbarian. Thank you all! Everything that you need to set up and maintain Neo-Anarchist cells in your area, which includes new stickers every month, patches, pins, dice bags, fake sins, contact sheets for Opti and his crew, USB cred sticks, Black Star t-shirts, whiskey glasses, temporary tattoos, Black Star dog tags, and an upcoming album of Sick World Musical Malarkey will be delivered to your safe house as we march bravely on. The music serving as the background to Audible Anarchy was written by the legend Marshall Parker and reimagined by Unidonium 88. This was the Neo-Anarchist Podcast, and I am your uncreative host, Opti. Enjoy your freedom, but beware. Self-replicating nanites apparently also want freedom and are not opposed to taking over your mind to get it.